Daily, in my language classroom of adult immigrants, I learn something about real people that goes beyond the mold of cultural stereotypes. But while traveling, I actually watched someone pouring himself into the mold and playing with life. I hate to rush, and it's particularly difficult to rush in French. But there we were in Paris, under pressure to catch our train. We ended up running. Somehow, the time had flown and the train was already leaving. Just in time, we caught it, stowed our baggage, and went to find our seats. A French family was in our spot. Nonchalantly, we showed the family our tickets. They pointed to the train configuration chart on the wall. We were in a first-class car with second-class tickets. Embarrassed, we needed to retrieve our gear and head to the back of the train. Let me give you a cinematic idea of what the we looks like. Aaron is a red-haired Nicole Kidman type, sans the new puffy lips. Anne is Audrey Hepburn from head to toe, slim and long-legged. I'm definitely Sally Fields, decidedly shorter than my co-stars, who really like me. This traveling to France to take a riding course was turning out to be a physical workout that we hadn't counted on. We'd envisioned being calm, classy travelers. Since we weren't going to China, we decided language wouldn't be a problem. Aaron had taken 2 years of French in high school. Okay, rusty for sure, but travel doable. I cautioned that I'd been to France with my daughter once, depending on her high school French, only to find out that petit déjeuner, breakfast, was the only two-word combination she could put together under stress. Usually, I travel to teach English or study some language, and I use music as a coach. To cover our behinds, I listen to French rock songs by Obispo. It was a long walk on a moving train to boot. We reached the car, we dropped our bags, and oh no, people were occupying our space again. Now, quite tired of the situation, we whipped out our tickets. One woman looked at ours, looked at hers, and then in excellent English pointed out that our train wasn't leaving the station for 15 more minutes, and we were on the wrong train. Panic. So where does one sit when one has no valid ticket? We hid in the baggage compartment. We'd wait for a conductor there. Foreboding overtook us. We felt like we were in the principal's office, waiting for the hammer. The conductor entered. Military authority oozed off of his uniform. The look of petit déjeuner hit Aaron's face. In the language teaching business, we call this the effective filter. It's when fear filters out all ability to speak or even really hear a foreign language. Okay, everyone knows the French are language phobes. It's try French or no help for you. I ventured with we are a problem. Wrong verb, but it worked. He motioned for our tickets and passports. I wanted to make us look even better by dispelling the language illiterate American reputation. German was my best bet. Kannst du Deutsch? Without raising his head from the tickets, he looked over his glasses. No. Hable español? No. Parle anglais? It was surprising how well I understood when he spoke to me in French. Pourquoi? Your French is better than my English. Man, my music listening had paid off. I decided to take a risk and use a line from a love song, adding a dismissive French-like gesture. Ah, tes paroles en l'air. A rough translation? Oh, your empty words that you don't really mean. Connection! His eyes lit. He leaned back and he touched his chest. Moi? Repeated three times. Yes, we had a new friend. He held his finger to his lips, a childish gesture of we are in this together. The door swished open, and his demeanor changed. I gotcha now. Verbally, he pushed us forward. Move it, allez! He had our tickets and our passports in his hand. It was obvious we were women in trouble. I began to doubt my reading of him. As our forced march proceeded, keeping up appearances became difficult. I was hot and straitjacketed by my now unneeded sweater pulled down over my biceps. Anne had joined the Munchkin Lollipop Guild, jerking her head and blowing out of the side of her mouth, attempting to keep the stray hairs off of her face. Aaron, close to tears, was, remarkably, walking backwards. Sans wheels, she was dragging her too-big-to-fit-in-the-aisles bag with both hands. Nicole, Audrey, and Sally were replaced by the cast of Saturday Night Live. Stripped from all air of sophistication, we passed the French family. Doubt became certainty. I had not connected with this man at all. He was the typical rude French worker. He was humiliating us. I'm giving this man a piece of my mind. I concentrated hard to think of a good cutting line from one of Obispo's songs. Unfortunately, the only shouting-worthy phrase that came to mind was "Laissez la porte ouverte!" Leave the door open! Oh yeah, that'd get him. The time of reckoning arrived. He motioned to leave our bags on the racks as we entered our last car. He pointed to where each of us was to sit. Shuffling and scanning tickets, he slapped mine in my hand, smiled, and winked. We found our derelict selves in a wonderfully cool first-class car with our own little table. We couldn't believe what he'd done. Both Anne and Aaron wanted to know exactly what I'd said to him back in the luggage compartment. When I explained the use of the song lyric, "Oh, your empty words," we laughed until it hurt. I didn't admit how dreadfully I'd succumbed to stereotyping him. It was my lesson. Laissez la porte ouverte. Leave the door open. And leave space for each person to be his own creation. Oh yes, and that some French train conductors are great actors.